Obviously, today's liturgy focuses intently on desire, as God calls us to answer this crucial question. What is your deepest desire? And this isn't a trivial question, since your desires will largely determine what you do, what you pour yourself into. Yet your desires can very easily lead you astray if they go unchecked, even leading you into slavery to those very same desires. In today's first reading, the young King Solomon gives a beautiful, yet perhaps a bit unexpected answer when God asks about his desires. Now keep in mind that Solomon at this point has everything in his favor, overwhelmingly. His father David has left him everything he could possibly imagine. Enormous riches, complete power, total peace. I'm sure all the ladies wanted to get to know him too, having all these things going in his favor, right? But instead of seeking more of these, like almost any young person would do, and even some older people probably would, he asks for the one thing that he actually doesn't have, the one thing that he lacks, which is an understanding of God's will. And here we see a common theme emerging once again. Time and time again, we've seen it over the past maybe 4 or 5 weeks. And namely, what I'm referring to is a meek and humble of heart, oriented toward the Lord, fundamentally turned toward God the Father. This is ultimately what Solomon desires. And notice that he not only receives more wisdom than any human being has ever had, but God lavishes worldly riches upon him as well. He came to the Lord in humility. And look how the Lord rewards him. This is what happens when we surrender to God in humility and obedience. He showers us with gifts beyond our imagination and expectations. Now, to be sure, he doesn't always give us what we want, but he lavishes his wonderful gifts upon us. He's not stingy at all. Let us remember, though, that young Solomon sadly did not live this way for very long, actually. All the lure of riches and the women and whatnot got to him, and he quickly fell into a dissolute lifestyle of sensuality and idol worship, and the Israelites suffered greatly down through the ages as a result. He kind of became the template of a king, and others followed in his footsteps and did worse than he did. And if you've read any of the Old Testament, you know what I'm talking about. So yes, it is essential for us to keep our hearts focused on the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes, not just at Mass, not just at confession, not just in adoration, but at all times. And this is exactly what Christ is instructing us to do in today's gospel passage as his parables continue. This section of Matthew is full of parables. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be, he teaches us. It's actually earlier in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, but it's very applicable here. And how absolutely true it is. It ties back directly to the desires that we mentioned earlier. Just look at the man who finds the greatest treasure out in that field. He doesn't just keep on walking, perhaps thinking, well, you know, I'll get back to that sometime when it's convenient. No, with joy. With joy, we heard, he goes and sells everything he has immediately to buy the field without possibly knowing all the ramifications that this could have on his life, but knowing that it is going to have significant ramifications. Similar to the merchant who finds the famous pearl of great price, goes and immediately sells everything that he has in order to buy that one pearl, knowing that this radical change will impact his life forever, but not knowing how. Not knowing how. As crazy as it may sound, these men have chosen the best path. The best path. The one focused on the kingdom of heaven. And you too can choose this same path by following their example and going all in for Christ. Just like Christ actually has and still continues to do for you. He still goes to the cross, rises from the dead. We enter into that very same mystery every day, especially when we celebrate the liturgy. He is the great treasure. He's the pearl of great price, isn't he? And you won't lose out one bit if you give yourself entirely to him, if you give everything to him. It doesn't mean that we all have to literally go and sell everything we have to follow him, but we need to put everything that we do have in service of his will. So you're never going to lose out. Rather, you're going to gain back far more than you gave. Remember, was it two Sundays ago maybe, where he talks about you'll reap 100, 60, or 30-fold. The Lord is never going to be outdone in generosity. Now, to be sure, you'll certainly have to give up some worldly comforts, and this will lead to struggles, both personal in working through that, but also through resistance from others. As we grow in holiness, the evil one worms his way in, and a lot of times others resist our efforts to grow closer to him. But attachments to comforts will inevitably bring you down and lead you farther away from the Lord. We talked about that slavery earlier to our desires. They come to rule us. Instead of our own hearts, our own will, we come to be ruled by them. And that's no way to live. Now, there's definitely a vocational element here in terms of the Lord calling us. So, you know, we began this reflection. We see it comes from the scriptures today. You know, what is my greatest desire, right? Hopefully it's the Lord. But also, that should lead us to ask a question too. Lord, what is your greatest desire for me? What do you want in my life? How do you want to lead me through this life with its perils and its joys? And that's a beautiful question, but it's one that many, many people don't ask. As most of you know, you've heard me say it, I didn't even bother to ask that question for 30 years or more of my life. I didn't even think to ask it. Nobody encouraged me to ask it, or if they did, I quickly forgot. Beautiful though. Lord, what is your desire for me? What is it that you're seeking? It's when our desires meet him that life really becomes amazing, wonderful, sometimes unpredictable. We don't know this God of surprises where he's going to lead us. But it's a great question to ask. We have so many young people in here. There's vocations here. Yes, most people are called to marriage, but some are called to the priesthood. Some are called to the religious life. And the Lord is calling people in this room right now to those vocations, no doubt about it. So ask that question of the Lord. Even those of us that are older and have our vocations in life, whether it's priesthood or marriage or whatever it is, there's the vocation within the vocation. Lord, what is your desire for me today? How do you want me to live out this vocation that you've given me today? That's a beautiful question. And again, that's when life really becomes amazing and exciting. The Lord wants to set you free from yourself, from those inordinate attachments to your desires, and fill you with the peace and joy beyond all understanding. And therefore, allow him to make your heart like his. Your heart like his. Not his heart like yours, but to make your heart like his, always focused on the Father and willing to give up everything for him so that you can help him build up the kingdom. It's precisely what Jesus did in his earthly life, right? That was the whole project of God, we could call it. And look at the riches that he has reaped through this sacrifice. Puts those riches of Solomon to shame, right? All the riches in heaven and earth have been given to him. That's amazing. And guess what? He offers all of those riches to each and every one of us too. We just have to say yes. We have to be open to receiving them. And oftentimes we say no because it requires change in our lives. And indeed, he offers us all of his commands as such marvelous gifts. He's offering them to you right now, coming directly from the scriptures, but also through the tradition of the church as she unfolds the gifts, these commands that the Lord gives us in the scriptures. So these are marvelous gifts he's offering to you right now to set you free. Today's psalmist gets it, showing how following his commands is the best thing you can do. And this is the front part of Psalm 19, in case you're interested. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The psalmist cries out, wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your word sheds light, giving understanding to the simple. There's that meek and humble heart again, the simple, right? It doesn't mean that we're a bunch of simpletons, a bunch of dummies. It means that we're simple in terms of being open to him, always reaching out to the Father to receive from him. That's when we say, wonderful are your decrees. Not your decrees are a big burden in my life, right? The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Your law is my delight. Some of us might not necessarily agree with the psalmist here, right? His law always challenges us, right? To let go of ourselves and to walk forth with him. And the psalmist, no doubt, understands this. He or she, whoever wrote this, has been following the Lord's commands, following the law, understands what that means. It means we have to become more and more like him, less and less like our worldly selves. But when we live that way, his law becomes our delight. Wonderful are his decrees. We realize how beautiful and necessary they are in our lives. Let us now return to the opening prayer from Mass today, which uses different language, but it encapsulates these same truths in a beautiful way. O God, protector of those who hope in you. So notice the hope is in him, not in ourselves. He's the protector. We hope in him. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundations, nothing is holy. So try as we want to build our own foundations, try as we want to grow holy without him, ain't gonna happen. He's the foundation, right? He's the protector. We put our hope in him. Bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, again, notice who's the guide here, him, not us. With you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass, the good things of this world that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that endure. So with him as our ruler and guide, we use the things of this earth to lead us towards the kingdom of heaven. That's what this prayer is saying. That's what Solomon's yearning for. That's what Jesus is guiding us to with all that he teaches us, but in these parables in a particular way. Brothers and sisters, if only each of us would ask God every day in all sincerity, humility, and honesty for an understanding heart above everything else, to live in the most sacred heart of Jesus. If each and every one of us did that each day, imagine what this world would look like. Imagine how wonderful it would be. Wonderful it already is, but imagine how much better it would be. And yet, there's nothing preventing us from doing this except for our own selves. You and I are the only ones standing in the way of this becoming a reality. And so, friends, let's just say yes and let God get the job done.